This is the, there we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We're going to go if we got to go by ourselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all got me coming off the ring too quick, too quick. Send me out, go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew. First, giving honor to God, who is truly the head of my life. Because without him, I would not be able to stand here. Would not be able to stand right here where I'm standing. Because a lot of people think that you come into the ministry so you can be seen. It ain't nothing like that. If you really want to know what it's like, you don't even want to be seen. You don't want to be seen because y'all may not know who I am. But I know who I am. And so for the Lord to call me to stand here, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. It's not like, oh, I got this. I don't never want to come up here without God. Never, ever without God. So I can just say again, thank you, God, for just keeping me. Because if it had not been for him, I would not be here. Would not be here. Thanks to the deacons' ministry for the opportunity. Thanks to the media, music, my band back there, singing today, carrying on just like they do all the time. To the media ministry, to ushers, and to all the ministries of this church, I say thank you again for allowing me to experiment my craft. And to all of those who are out there on Facebook and YouTube, I appreciate you watching this morning, because you could have turned the channel to any other channel out there, and it's millions of them out there. But I thank you this morning for tuning in to the Tabernacle Baptist Church, to the Tabernacle Baptist Church, to a church that is filled with nothing but love. So I just thank you and praise you this morning. Before I go any further, I just want to pray. So if you don't mind bowing your heads just for a moment of prayer. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, bless me to articulate your word so that every ear and every heart in this house will hear you speaking to me, to them, and understand what you have sent me to do. I've done all the studying I could do. I need your spirit. I've prepared the best way I know how. I need your ability. I need your power. I need your strength. I ask you to send a fresh wind and a fresh fire and remove the spirit of Robin right now in the name of Jesus. And stand up in me, Jesus, so that I can preach your holy word. So that I can preach your holy word. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I do say amen. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. If you don't mind, just for a moment, standing for the reading of the words, just three little scriptures. And I'm sure you've heard it before. Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3, and I'm reading from the NIV today. And it says, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, The Lord is his name. He said, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. You may be seated. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. These few verses is pericope for today. The title for it is, It's the Not Knowing That Scares Me. It's the not knowing that scares me. And I'm going to say me for a while here because I'm just talking about me. I don't want to put you in it, but you can put your own self in there. If you want to, you can put your own self in there. But because you may not have ever been scared in your life. But I can testify, standing up here today, that I've had some scary times in my life. I've had some scary times. So, but you may not have been scared at any time. Jeremiah is one of the major prophets of the Bible. He was a man who suffered with depression and great loneliness. Jeremiah is also recognized as the weeping prophet because of the struggles that he encountered. These worries and complications are best described in great detail in the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. Jeremiah wrestled a great deal with loneliness, insecurity, and feelings of defeat. He was constantly confronting rejection by those he reached out to and those he loved. While he was called by God to preach, he was also forbidden by God to marry and have children of his own, which means that he lived and ministered by himself. Now, anybody that does ministry in the church, in the community, you know that that's hard work. It's something, most of the time, the ministry that you do is something that you call to do because you're not going to be getting a paycheck every week for it. Is something that the Lord has purposed in your heart. And to have to do it alone is not easy. So that left Jeremiah having to confront depression head on while maintaining great strength and spiritual faith. I don't know if any of y'all ever been there before, but I can tell you that I have. Ministering, depressed, scared, sad, but still strong. Showing yourself faithful to God. Regardless what's going on in your life at home, regardless what's going on with your life at work, you've been called for a purpose. And you have to stand in that purpose. And it is not always easy. It is not always easy. Jeremiah said that the Lord told him, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. In other words, buck up, Jeremiah, and stop all your whining. For your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. Sometimes we do get weary in well-doing. We do get weary in doing ministry for the kingdom. We get weary doing kingdom work. That don't even sound like it makes sense. But we do. But Jeremiah says, what we need to do is when we feel that weariness coming on, depression, anxiety coming on, but we still gonna minister. He said, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. And he will answer and tell us great and unsearchable things that we do not know. Jeremiah fully trusted in the promises of the Lord and was an example for us. Even in depression, even in loneliness, even in tears, Jeremiah trusted God. It was the God of the universe that said, call unto me. Not some other God, a wooden God, metal God, clay God. It was the God of the universe that said, call unto me. Call me and I will show you great and unsearchable things. The King James Version says, great and mighty things. What do you think your chances are getting through on the phone to President Biden at this particular time? Absolutely zero. Zero. He's supposed to be the most powerful man in the land. But we can't call on him to help us. None of them up there in Pennsylvania help us. Yet, regardless of your education, regardless of your sophistication, regardless of how you dress, regardless of your ethnic background, regardless of your financial status, you can talk to God. You can talk to God. Biden can't help us, won't help us. God will talk to you if you talk to him. He will talk back to you. God speaks to people in different ways. Some through dreams. That's me. I'm the dreamer. Some through reading of the word. Some through confirmations. Some through that still, soft voice. We all receive a word from God differently. You may say, well, I haven't heard from God. If you are a Christian and you've been saved by grace, you have heard from God. Amen. It was the Lord that spoke to you in order for you to come to him. And if he spoke to you one time, he'll speak to you again and again and again. But you got to put yourself in a position to hear his voice. To hear his voice. You're not going to hear God. You pray to the Lord, and then you got the TV on, you got the radio on, you got the music on, you cooking, and you washing, and you washing the car, and doing all this, and you got all this outside noise. Distractions. That's right, Reverend Allen. Distractions. You need to settle yourself. That's what happens a lot of times. We'll pray to the Lord and get up and run on. Run on. You got to settle yourself. You got to give the Lord time. You got to give him time. And you'll know when he speaks to you. You'll know. You probably say, oh, Lord, this is taking just too long. Taking too long. But sometimes God is waiting and working at the same time. He's working on your prayer requests, but he's also working on you to receive it. Sometimes we're not in a position to receive yet. And we got to get in a position to receive. It's not that the Lord is not working. The Lord is always working, always working for each and every one of us. But you got to be in a spirit to receive. You got to be in a frame of mind to receive what your request is or receive something that you did not request. Because sometimes the Lord purposes things into our life that we really didn't ask for. I'm just saying, I did not ask to be a preacher. I didn't. I'm just telling you the truth, I didn't. The Lord called me in 1998. And it took me to 2002 before I said yes. I was not trying to be nobody's preacher. Wasn't trying to do that. I was still having fun. Party over here, party over there. I'm just telling the truth. Get up and go to church on Sunday. Stay there all day if I got to. But if it's a party on Sunday night, I'm in the house. I'm just telling the truth. This is something. I did not call to be a preacher. I didn't want that call. What about you, Reverend Allen? Ramisa, how about you? You was a heathen. He was a heathen. I was a heatheness. Okay? What about you, Reverend Jackson? Was you what? Oh, see, a weary traveler. No preacher that I know, none that I know, wanted to be a preacher. None. When they realize, you know, you might want to get up and say something, but when you realize the ramifications of being a preacher, of being the spokesperson for God, that's some serious stuff. It's serious. And you have to take it serious. You have to take it serious. Jesus, I wasn't even going. That ain't even the notes. Not in the notes. So, you know, a lot of times we want stuff and we don't, the Lord's taking too long. So we'll talk to folk about it. Friends, cousins, sister, brother, wife. We'll talk to folk about it. And won't talk to the Lord. The Lord is the only one that can help you. But we want to talk to everybody else and see what their opinion is. They ain't got no opinion. Now, they might confirm something the Lord had already told you. And you don't want to hear that neither. Coming from somebody else confirming what the Lord has already told you. Don't want to hear that either. Yeah, you already knew what the Lord done told you to do, and you just ain't moved out on it. And they might confirm the exact words that you needed to hear. And then here you go. Here you go. This was the second word that Jeremiah received. And guess where he was at? He was in the courtyard prison. Jeremiah was in jail. He wasn't out there running free. The Lord will catch you wherever you are. If he got something for you to do, something for you to say, a purpose on your life, it don't matter where you are. It does not matter where. You could be in the prison courtyard. You can be on the ball field playing ball. You could be on the golf course golfing. Could be at a Taylor Swift concert. Or you could be sitting at the Satisfying Place ordering a drink. And you don't know what the Satisfying Place is unless you come from Cincinnati. Curtis, where you at, Curtis? Curtis, no. Satisfying Place. You don't know nothing about that. You could be in there. It doesn't matter where you are. The Lord will find you and turn your life around. Turn your life around. Here Jeremiah was in lockup. He was on the green mile of the Shawshank Redemption. He was in lockup. He was in lockup. But that was just the second word. The first word came to Jeremiah. Everybody's familiar with it in Jeremiah 1. When the Lord says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah, then he wants to discuss all this with the Lord. But he was able to discuss it because he had a relationship with God. You can't have a conversation with God unless you got relationship. You know, he was kind of like us. I always got some back lip. My mother would say that back lip is going to get you in trouble. I always got to have the last word. I always got to have something to say. Jeremiah has something to say. He has something to say in this conversation. I don't know how to speak. That was me. I was Moseletta. I'm too young. I said I was too old. My other excuse was I did not know enough. I did not know enough. I felt like I needed to really know the word of God in order to preach to God's people. I didn't want to make a fool out of God, and I didn't want to make a fool out of myself. So I had that conversation. And then the Lord told him, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to, and you must say whatever I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. The King James Version says, do not be afraid of their faces. Jeremiah says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched his mouth and said to him, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That's what the word of God will do. That is exactly what the word of God will do. There was a call and a preparation upon Jeremiah's life. Before he was born, he didn't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be a prophet. No. The Lord says, before you were born, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That should be good news to somebody in here today that is struggling with a call. Struggling with a call. You say, well, I don't have no call in my life. Yes, you do. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a call on your life. You have a call on your life. Each and every one of us in here has a purpose and a ministry in God's kingdom. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. It does not matter. We get scared because we don't know what's going to happen once we step out. But we see the Henry stepped out on vacation Bible school. And what did the Lord do? He sent the people. He sent the people for vacation Bible school. So we get scared of stuff that we don't even, can't even see yet. And won't even step out. Step out on God. Step out on faith. Step out on Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. We got to step out. We need more people in the Tabernacle Baptist Church working in the kingdom of God. And you know what your purpose is. You know what your ministry is. You know what God called you to do. And it might not be a ministry on the book. So what? Step out. The Lord will send the people. We already seen that. The Lord will send the people. We got to trust God. We have to trust. So if you've been in here struggling, Lord talking to you every Sunday, you need to come join the church. You need to get baptized. You need to work in this ministry. You need to start this ministry. If the Lord has been talking to you, it's time to step out, because he got you. He got you. He already knows what you need. He already knows what you need. He already knows what you need. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This is so powerful. I wish somebody had told me this long time ago, to know that the Lord had already paved the way. Already paved the way. You're not knowing, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter anymore. You just have to trust God. I did not have this understanding years ago. I did not have this understanding. But this is good to know. And I'll tell anybody, don't be scared. Don't worry about what the people going to say. Don't be scared of their faces. Because we have to look at your faces when we up here to preach. Some of y'all faces is asleep. Some of y'all faces is looking like, why don't she just hurry up? Some of y'all faces is on Facebook. Y'all don't know. Y'all faces is telling it all. This is not an easy place to be, to deliver God's word, when we got to look at y'all faces. And this is a call that was put on us. And I'm afraid not to do it. I'm afraid not to do it. Because the Bible don't say, but when you know better, you do better. So I know better. And I know better not to do it, even though it's hard, even though I be trembling all night long, can't sleep, because I know I got to come and look at y'all faces. But I'm still going to do what the Lord told me to do, because they sung that song. If I got to go by myself, I'm going. That song was on point for me. If I got to go by myself, I'm going. So have that spirit. If you got to go by yourself, if you got to step out on faith, just go. The Lord will send backup. He's going to send somebody to help you. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. Because this is his kingdom. This is his church. And he wants you to work in the kingdom. So he's not going to leave you by yourself. It may be somebody in here, a person or persons that the Lord has spoken to do ministry, in the preaching ministry, the teaching ministry, to teaching the kingdom of God. You know that teaching is really harder than the preaching. Your teaching ain't no joke. Because you already know you got to say what does say the Lord. You can't say what you want to say. You got to teach the right stuff, the right way, to the right people. You got to study. I mean really study and prepare. Because you one-on-one with people. People going to have questions. So you got to have the answers. Teaching ain't no joke. But the Lord said, I got you. He said, I got you. Don't worry about them faces. I got you. Leave those faces alone. Leave those comments alone. Because along with the faces come with the comments. I remember when they were so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, if you remember all that, do you remember what you was doing? You got to have a conversation with God. You got to have the faith in God, and you got to believe in the Most High. You got to believe in the Most High. He just does not promise to answer prayers. He does. He does answer prayers. The text says that while Jeremiah was in Lebanon, right up the road there, in prison. Did you say prison? Yeah. Jeremiah was in prison. Call on me, Jeremiah. Call on me, Robin. Call on me, Easton. Call on me, Jackie. Call on me, Beasley. You know, sometimes we make our own prisons. We make our own prisons. We create these strongholds in our lives, things that go against God, the knowledge of God, and the opinions that are raised by God. We get these thoughts and ideas that can lead us away from God. We listen to other people. We get a little bit out. You know, there's a story about a man that was on a boat. And he was just on the boat resting, went to sleep, and fell asleep with the waves. And soon, before he knew it, he could not see the shore. All he could see was where the sky met the water. No shore around. That's what happens to us. We get out there and get comfortable in that wave and just keep let that wave roll us on out there. We feeling all comfortable and everything is smooth and jazz is playing and whatever. You know, we just rolling. And before we know it, we are so far from God. So far from God. And we didn't intend that to happen. But we get so far from God. Now, it's going to be hard to get back on land. But these are some of the strongholds and the prisons that we create for our own self. We create them for our own self. And it's going to take us a minute to get back. So I encourage you today not to go to sleep when it starts to feel like this. Don't close your eyes. Keep your hand on the paddle so you can get yourself back to shore. You need to be able to have somebody or something that you can depend on to get yourself back to shore. They even sung a song today that I'm, y'all just singing, all, y'all sung my whole sermon. I done messed up. That's, ain't that what y'all sung this morning? I gotta start all over again. Done messed up. This ain't no, this is not a hallelujah sermon. I couldn't understand why, but the Lord understands why I need to be delivered, and so I'm just gonna do what he says do. But I do know one thing, you gotta stop being scared of what's beyond that next step. You got to stop being scared of what's beyond that next step. Because that will hold you back. That fear will hold you back. And I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly. I'm just not saying this. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm way off script. So, God wants us to come to him, tell him what we want, tell him what we need, and let him work it out. We need to let Jesus work it out, not your buddy, not your best friend. not your therapist. It's okay to go to the therapist, but let the Lord work it out. Let the Lord give you strength that you need. Because we all get to a point where we down to where the rubber meets the road. I don't know if you ever been there on Rubber Street and Road. When things have started moving and shifting in your life, when the company you don't work for 25 years closes right before your pension, when a routine checkup turns into some serious life-threatening medical issues, just living is just real hard. It's just real hard. Now we worry about our children when they leave the house. Are they coming back home again? The government got us worried about our Social Security and our pensions, job security. We worry about our spouse. And I know some of y'all already still in here concerned about COVID. An enemy that you cannot see. Just getting through the day is hard. Just getting through the day is hard. Do you pay for your medicine or do you pay your house payment? Do you pay for gas or do you buy some food? Do you pay your electric bill or do you pay your gas bill? The national disasters are getting worse every day. And we don't know when it's going to come back here again. I'm going to say again because we had all them tornadoes not too long ago. But we need to stop worrying. We need to stop worrying. Because that worrying causes us not to live in the minute, in the moment. The scripture says, call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that he loves. God is in the good times, and God is in the scary times. God is our refuge and strength and the ever-present help in times of trouble. He is a God of ever making a way, ever blessing us, ever healing us. He is a God of ever. Ever, when not knowing scares you. Ever, when not knowing scares you. He is still the God of ever. From everlasting to everlasting. He's ever doing, he's ever opening up doors, ever closing doors that needed to be closed, ever making a way out of no way. He is everlasting mercy. He is everlasting grace. He is changeless. He is eternal. He is ever faithful. He is holy. He is holy. God is faithful. God is just a good God. God is loving. God is sovereign. God is our light in darkness. Even your shadow will leave you in the dark. The Lord began to, Jeremiah 8:22, the Lord began to get in a real sorrowful state of the land, that how they was worshiping graven images and had all these strange vanities. And the Lord asked a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Around 1854, an African-American spiritual was written by changing the first three words of Jeremiah 8:22 from is there no to there is a, and came up with these words: there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my works in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. God is the God of ever. Just trust in that balm in Gilead. Trust in the God of ever. Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, and that's one of my favorite books, Lamentations. In Lamentations 3, 21 through 26, and it says, to have hope is because it is the Lord's mercy. We got to have hope because it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his passions can fail not. You can't be scared. You cannot be scared. It says it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The man that wrote this song was a minister in Kentucky. His name was Thomas Chrisham. And he got sick. He was married. He got sick. Had children. Lost his job, lost his church, and he began to sell insurance. But he did have another purpose. He was a poet, and he used to write poems. And he wrote a poem about God's faithfulness to him. Even in the midst of all he was going through, he wrote this poem, how God had been faithful to him. And it was from the scripture. And eventually it became a song. So we have to remember that when it looks bad, that we just got to get to the next morning. Because it's going to be a new mercy in the morning. It's going to be a new blessing in the morning. The scripture said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But joy, somebody say, but joy comes in the morning. We just got to get to the morning, because it's going to be a new mercy there for you in the morning. We got to trust God. It may be get really weary through the night, but we still got to trust God. You might get real scared trying to get to the morning, but we still just got to trust God. Trust God that he will lead you in the right direction. Trust God that when you step out and you need people, the people will come. Trust God when you got to speak a word, that he will give you the word to say. You just got to trust God, because he is faithful. He is a faithful God. The song says, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. And thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, unto me. I just want to encourage you to have hope in God. Hold on until the morning. You will get a new mercy. You will get a new day, whether it's on land or in heaven. You get a new day. You get a new mercy. Just hold on until the morning. Even when knowing is scared, or not knowing is scared, don't worry about that. Trust God.
Amen.
God is faithful. God is faithful. Hold on. Hold on and trust God. To God be the glory for the things that he has done. Right now, I want to open up the doors to the church. And you can come to us by letter, by Christian experience.